It is that time on a Thursday when we get our view from the north. He's got the new walk-up music. Smooth Criminal. I feel old, man. Bat is 30 years old. Follow his work for Comcast Sportsnet online, CSNNW.com on Twitter at Aaron J. Fentress. Mr. Fentress, how you doing?
At my house, just like Bat came out yesterday.
You feel just like that, don't you?
I try to, man, but every once in a while, I'll see like a picture of Michael Jackson on Instagram from like this Bat tour. And someone will post in there, this was Michael Jackson, Japan, 30 years ago. And I'll go, what?
Yeah, make it.
30 years ago? What the heck?
Yeah.
Where'd the time go? I was a sophomore at Portland State. What the hell happened?
Yeah, I always say make it stop. I can't. Sometimes I'm just not in the mood to be reminded that was that long ago.
It's insane.
So I noticed for a second season, you and Anthony Newman have, I'm making air quotes here, discussing the Oregon defense. And as a former DB here, he's very willing to give the benefit of the doubt. And before talking ball this week, you perhaps, you tweeted that you might concede some progress. So what you saw the first 2 weeks, are you seeing some noteworthy improvement from last year?
I think so. I mean, they're still averaging, 30.5 points allowed, and that's to a FCS team and a decent but not great offense in Nebraska that actually huddles. I still think you're looking at a team that's probably going to give up 3-4 a game, maybe in the Pac-12, maybe more, depends. But I think we're seeing progress because they gave up 42 last year, right? So math don't lie. And the fact is also we're seeing turnovers. I mean, they forced just 12 last year. There are 6 already this year, I believe. That's major progress because it's not about the yards allowed. And everyone's always pretty much said that with Oregon. And I said that with the 2014 team. Some people were saying, oh, they ranked 80th in the nation or whatever, 88th, because they gave up 400 yards plus a game, whatever. But they only gave it up 23. And they were forcing a ton of turnovers, one of the top teams in the nation forcing turnovers. So you can let a team drive for 40 yards, and you give them, if you go and score and give them the ball right back 2 minutes later and they get another 30 yards, you keep doing that, it's going to add up. But if you don't let them get in the end zone, then you're doing well. And so far, this team at least is taking the ball away to prevent some points. They still need to work on, you know, shutting teams down, keeping them under 25 if that's possible, but there's definitely progress.
All right, today you posted a story about Thomas Graham, who kind of jumped off the page in the Nebraska game, knocked down some passes when they went after him, a couple of picks. I like the angle, you know, mom and dad are in the seats watching. So for folks who haven't seen the piece, so apparently Thomas and his sister are really good athletes, and they're and they're the product of a dad who did not want them to make the mistakes he did.
Pretty much. I mean, he was a good athlete, San Diego High. He graduated in 95, but his career peaked in junior college because he said, A, you know, single-parent household, mom didn't have a dad around to sort of be, you know, a guiding influence to him. And he just made a lot of silly mistakes growing up and didn't take things seriously, especially academics. And he made his goal to stop that cycle and make sure his kids didn't fall into those same traps, and so he was a little bit of a not he wasn't Marinovich.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
He pushed them. Yeah, he did. You know, he pushed them to do their best. He didn't push them to be godly. And it just so happened that he and his wife Tamisha have great genes. Their gene pool spit out some pretty awesome
yeah.
kids. The daughter Jasmine, she's 20. She has a scholarship to USC as a hurdler, and she's now transferred to UNLV. And she runs her fastest time I think ever in 100 hurdles. Was 12.8, I think. If she's getting down to maybe a 12.4, maybe have a shot at the Olympic team in 2020. That's her goal.
Wow.
And then, so actually what's funny is that her being such a good sprinter and 2 years ahead of Thomas created a situation where she was receiving all these accolades while Thomas was, you know, just another kid. And the family even talked about how he almost was a little bit invisible. Like, everyone knew who Tanisha was because she was just an amazing local sprinter. And then there was, this little kid that turned around as well. And then he always wanted to beat her, but she was older, so he would always lose her, and she, of course, rubbed it in, right? She pushed it to the face. You'd call him slow and stuff. And then finally, when he reached junior high and sort of sprouted and grew up, he went from 5'3 to 5'9 in like a year, he beat her in a race. And, of course, she was ticked, but then she threw it back, and, well, you should beat me, you're a boy, and blah, blah, blah. But the dad said as soon as he beat her, he started walking around the house like he owned it. Like, he was king of the house. I finally beat Tanisha. And then from that moment on, he started taking sports more seriously. I guess when he was younger, he played. He always played up a level, but he was more into animals and math, and he would watch Natural Geographic more than SportsCenter, that kind of kid. But then when he got older, well, I beat my sister, and man, I'm actually pretty good. He started diving in mentally, learning the game and trying to understand it better. And that's what Tagger says, that the guy, he just knows so much football at such a young age, and that's because since junior high, he started becoming a studier of the game, a student of the game. And so now you have a kid who has elite athleticism, but also mentally is ahead of the game as far as where he is as a true freshman. And that's one of the reasons why Tagger loves him.
Yeah, that's a great piece. It kind of reminded me of that story where I think Reggie Miller scored like 65 points in a high school game, came home, and Cheryl was like, yeah, I scored 100.
It's almost exactly the same dynamic. Cheryl used to kill Reggie all the time, and then finally Reggie grew up, and finally Reggie beat her. You know, it was like a big... Like, I think even today he jokes that that's the biggest moment of his career. He finally beat his sister.
Well, I'm willing to look past game one of the 95 East Division Series against the Knicks. So I can't go there. I can't drink on the air. Let's continue with Aaron Fentress of Comcast SportsNet.
Wait, you don't drink on the air already?
Yeah, I know. A lot of people find that out and are like, wow, that would have excused a lot. So let's get to the Nebraska game. It's funny, sure. I said it, and I turned on what you had to say, and it was like, yeah, tale of two halves. You're always cautioning about questioning play calling. But in that second half, what did you make of maybe the less bold selection, and why after running roughshod in the first half that I guess the well went dry?
You know, I asked Tagger the first question in the press conference. I said, after the pick, the tip pass intended for Mitchell, did you kind of go conservative? He said no, he felt like they were running the same stuff. They just weren't executing, you know, penalties, drop passes, things like that, sort of stopping drives. So I went back and I watched the second half again when I got, just actually last night I watched it before I went on Talking Ducks, and I sort of charted the plays. And in the third quarter, I agree with him because they did pass on first down at times. There were some penalties. There were some drop passes. They actually ran the ball well. They had some nice, like, 11-yard runs, 7-yard runs. So they were moving it the same way they were in the first half. They just weren't finishing drives, and then penalties kill you. I mean, when you should be second and three, instead you're second and 17 because of a holding penalty or whatever, that, I mean, that hurts you. There's no doubt about that. But in the fourth quarter, they had 11, they had a stretch for 11, the end of the game was 11 straight runs. Okay?
Wow.
And so, and that's over, that was over three possessions. And so my thing there is, okay, and one was a fumble, obviously. But about her, frankly, my thing is there is, okay, right there, that's being considered. If you have the lead, yes, but it was far enough deep into the game to where you shouldn't start running clock. And you have a quarterback who doesn't make big mistakes, and you have a highly efficient offense. He completed 80% of his passes on the day, didn't he? Or was that just the first half?
Yeah, the first half he was 21 to 25, I think.
Yeah. So you have a guy who's not, I mean, the odds of him throwing into double coverage in those situations are not very high. They weren't getting pressure on him. So I sort of felt like that's where things got conservative. Because to me, you know, letting Herbert throw is high percentage for success, or at least it's really, really low percentage for disaster. So I felt there they got a little conservative. But, you know, I do think there's a validity to the fact that things were happening to them on offense that had nothing to do with Nebraska in the third quarter. But I think the bottom line is they got shut out in the second half. And I think that's room for concern.
Talking Duck Football with Aaron Fentress, Comcast Sports Net. Obviously, some true freshmen are getting important playing time. I want to talk about Johnny Johnson, the wideout. I just, you know, with Graham, I said it. With this guy, he just looks like he belongs. I think the way he goes after the ball, he's very tenacious. As a former receiver yourself, how you liking what this young guy's bringing to the table so far?
A true freshman going out there and making it look easy. I mean, he's made catches over guys. He's dove for catches. He caught a tip pass. That was intended for Breland, I think.
Yep.
And he's caught the basic stuff. And, you know, obviously we're not watching film, so we don't know exactly if he's running every route at the right depth or he's lining guys up correctly every time, depending on the play call. But, I mean, he looks like a guy who straight up got skills. You know what I'm saying? Like there's, you know, because all these guys, every receiver in the roster, even the walk-ons, can run out and catch a hitch, run out and catch a curl, and just, you know, make the play that Herbert throws it right in your chest. I mean, every one of them can catch. But when you see guys making special plays on a big stage effortlessly, that's when you say, okay, wow, this guy's got something. So I definitely think they found a gem in him. And what's interesting, if you He's a three-star kid coming out. I thought he was a four- or five-star guy. He actually committed to Oregon under Helfrich. You know, one of the things, I like facts, and so when I see people going all in on Taggart's freshman, let's not forget that Johnny Johnson and Pickett committed to Oregon under Helfrich. So give the old staff a little bit of credit for some of that. But obviously Taggart's recruiting his butt off. But, no, this guy looks like he's the real deal.
No, he's, like I said, some guys just look like they fit in. Finally, I heard you guys talking about Josh Allen, the Cowboy quarterback, and, you know, well-documented that he struggled his two games against Power 5 teams, Iowa, Nebraska last year. I know you always do a kind of good look-ahead against as far as an analysis of the opponent. How capable you think he is of doing damage against his defense Saturday?
You know, he himself is capable, but I watched their game. I can't remember who they played. I can't remember.
Well, Iowa game was the one they struggled with.
Right.
Right.
And then I can't remember the name of the team they played. It was a school I'd never heard of. Like, I thought they were D3.
Gardner-Webb?
Yeah. What was it called again?
I think it was Gardner-Webb?
Yeah, Gardner-Webb. I didn't even know that was a D1 team. They're Big South Conference. Like, I was like, wait a minute. Gardner-Webb? What? No offense to them. I'm just saying, what the hell is that? But anyway, they only scored 27 points against those guys. And what I saw was a team that it looked like they had a big-time quarterback. Like, have you ever seen, like, a 3A or 2A high school team play football, and they just happen to have the next Ben Roethlisberger?
Yeah, actually, when...
And he looks completely out of place.
Well, I think when Derek Anderson was in high school, he
there
just looked
go.
Bigger
exactly.
than everybody.
Derek Anderson has caboose with a bunch of little kids. Everyone looked like Pop Warner but him. It looked like that. Not quite that bad, but only from the standpoint that he clearly has next-level ability, but they had nothing around him in the way of, like, next-level talent. Like, they did not have – I didn't see much speed. I didn't see much size and strength on the offensive line. And not that I did a deep dive, but I watched it. I kept looking. And their best receiver from last year, Tanner Gentry, is now with my Bears. He just got activated because half the Bear receiving corps is injured. So I know who that guy is. But they don't have a guy like that on that roster. They don't have a back that's that explosive. So – I think Oregon's going to be able to keep everything in front of them. This guy's going to make some plays here and there. There might be a blown coverage or two every once in a while. He'll make a play. But I can't see him doing all that much damage. And by that, I mean he's probably still going to put 24 on the board just because of Oregon's pace of offense. And he'll have the ball a lot. But I don't think he's going to be much of a threat in terms of pulling out a win.
All right. Well, I know over the last several years you've gotten to see a Super Bowl, a Final Four, a national title game, and, of course, the biggie. Now you get to check Laramie off your bucket list.
I cannot wait.
Hey, Aaron, travel safe. Thanks again, and I'll catch up with you next week.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Take it easy.